Stillman and Company, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, and Facebook Live. We are live from the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game National Studios. We are presented by the Southern Bank of Tennessee, and we are joined by the chairman of the board, Mr. David Reed. Hello, Mr. David Reed.
Good afternoon, sir.
So, I want to go back to something that happened 2 days ago. And David Reed, I want your opinion on this.
Okay, I have one.
So, on Friday, which I think was really like 4 or 5 days ago, but on Friday, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., a league average, if not below average corner in the NFL, tweeted out about Anthony Richardson and then deleted the tweet, and I was just set ablaze at the audacity that Jarvis Brownlee would have, being on the worst team in football, to talk smack about another team in your own division who, by the way, beat him twice last year. And the Colts are 4-0 since Anthony Richardson's been drafted. And I just went off, again, not about Jarvis Brownlee, who by all accounts seems like a nice guy, but the audacity, the fact that he thought it was okay. And only on Brian Callahan's team, in which Jeffrey Simmons, who never takes the blame for anything, is allowed to blow off the entire offseason program, which is supposed to be a fundamental change, only on Brian Callahan's team would they think that's okay. Just what great culture. And you heard the whole rant on Monday. It was a lot of pent-up anger about the culture of the team, more so than what Brownlee did. But it was just more to me just a sign that these guys don't really respect the game. These guys don't really respect what it will take to be a good team. And I see no signs of turning it around. Did you think on Monday that I was too hard on Brian Callahan?
No, not really. And it's hard because I'm with you on the side that I like him as a person. As an NFL coach, I just don't know. And I can't say that he has what it takes, the temperament to be a head coach that can have a winning team and a winning culture in the NFL.
The difference between me and you, Reed, is I know. I know. The answer is no. Brian Callahan does not have what it takes to be a good NFL head coach. I know it. The change, and really when I say change, I mean the lack of change from year one to year two, is all I need to see. No accountability this offseason, no major changes outside of this, fundamental accountability program that Jeffrey Simmons blew off. Nothing. It's the same. The same guy that got pushed around by the players from the first day when Jeffrey Simmons threw punches in practice and he did nothing about it is the same guy coaching the Titans today. And I was hopeful that we were going to see a change. And so I have just determined that you're not going to win with Brian Callahan as the coach. It is what it is. Again, I was looking for massive changes from year one to year two, and I haven't seen them. And my dad got on my ass on Monday night. I really do appreciate how close my dad and I are. I had a buddy of mine who's a drummer for a famous musician in town, Tracy Broussard, who is Blake Shelton's drummer. He once told me, he said, "You know, man, what I think is so cool is how you always talk about your dad on the radio. And as a dad, I think that's super cool." And so I do appreciate the relationship we have and the fact that he listens to the show and gives his input. But he got on my rear end saying that I was too hard on Brian Callahan. He said I was too hard on Callahan on Monday. But the issue is, with Callahan, I expected to see something different from last season. And all I really see is that nothing has changed. He switched out the special teams coach. Whoa. And boy, he was kicking and screaming doing that. Remember when it was announced that they were going to hire Bones Fossil and Paul Kaharsky was saying, hey, they still may keep Colt Anderson on the staff. And Callahan came up with his 8-team offseason competition. Other than that, Brian Callahan has changed nothing. He has done nothing. And let's be honest about last season. That roster was terrible. Make no mistake. But it wasn't the worst roster in the NFL. And he helped build that horrible roster. Remember last year at the Combine? He told Caroline that he thought that Jalen Duncan and Nicholas Petit-Frere, a.k.a. PT, had traits that they could be the right tackle. And I said, no! But that's okay. That's a rookie coach, first time doing it, saying, I can fix it. No, you can't. Callahan was not good as a coach last year. He cried after they beat that horrible Patriots team in overtime. They were, according to their team captain, who once again blew off OTAs, hung over from winning their third game of the season in December and got crushed at Washington. They lost to Malik Willis. They lost to Joe Flacco. They lost to the aforementioned Anthony Richardson. And they lost to Mac Jones twice. I had stated at the time, if I owned the football team, I'd let the next general manager decide what to do with Brian Callahan. And Amy reportedly didn't let Chad Brinker do what he wanted to do, which was fire Callahan. But I was told, when the Titans said, Chad Brinker's going to be in charge, and I said, what? Chad Brinker? What? I was told there will be changes. And I was told that Callahan would understand that. I was told that nobody understood there had to be differences and changes more than Callahan himself. So what did he do? What changes did he make? And without getting too technical, the answer is nothing. He did nothing. And that's what drives me crazy. Last year, Brian Callahan got the benefit of the doubt when he didn't throw Jeffrey Simmons out of practice. And we all stood there on the sideline and said to ourselves, hey, if Vrabel was the coach, he would have thrown Simmons out of practice. He got the benefit of the doubt throughout the course of last year when he said, I can coach up PT and I can coach up Jalen Duncan. He got the benefit of the doubt when Titans fans were wondering, is he going to be able to turn Will Levis into Joe Burrow? He got the benefit of the doubt when he brought in his own guys from Cincinnati, like Chidobe Awuzie and like Tyler Boyd. He got the benefit of the doubt last year. Bill Callahan got the benefit of the doubt with the offensive line last year. You don't get the benefit of the doubt 2 years in a row. And so what I saw with the Titans was I saw a typical case of a team that fires a mean coach and goes and hires the nicest guy possible. And then once you realize that the players need to be accountable, that there needs to be at least some sort of structure, some sort of organization, they'll turn around and they'll go hire a mean coach because that's how it works when you don't know what you're looking for. Kalen Kaler, a senior reporter at ESPN, talked to a head coach in the NFL who had interviewed for numerous jobs and said one owner in the NFL knew what they were looking for in a head coach. Jeffrey Lurie, the owner of the Philadelphia Eagles. Everybody else, he said, they'll say things like, we want a leader of men, or we want an offensive genius, or, but they don't really know what they're looking for. I think it's safe to say that Amy, when it comes to picking out a head coach, doesn't really know what she's looking for and that they've gotten lucky in the past. But again, when it comes to the Titans and it comes to Callahan, I was willing to give it a second crack. I was willing to say, hey, Brian Callahan clearly in over his head in year one. Let's see what changes he's going to make going into year two. And the truth is, he hasn't changed anything. Oh, they got rid of the PR director. That'll make a difference. Oh, we're breaking out into 8 teams. Accountability, leadership development. That's going to be our thing. Only to have Jeffrey Simmons not show up. And again, it's not about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. Again, the 131st of qualifying cornerbacks, according to Pro Football Focus. It's not about Jarvis Brownlee Jr. and him chirping at Anthony Richardson or the Colts. It's about the fact that he has the audacity to do that after being on the most embarrassing and worst team in the NFL last year. And only when you have a losing culture where you don't care about talking trash on the scoreboard because you know you're not good enough to do it, and so you'll do it on Twitter. Do you think that's okay? And that's Brian Callahan's culture in Tennessee. You notice I've been going off on this now for 13 minutes. I haven't even mentioned that the star corner they brought in last year has a grand jury indictment hanging over his head from an alleged shooting at a car dealership during the season last year. Think about that. And what has Brian Callahan and his coaches, what have they done when it comes to L'Jarius Sneed and addressing anything that has to do with Sneed? They've patronized him. The same way they've patronized Simmons, the same way they patronized Levis, the same way they smell their own farts and try to get you to think that it is mayonnaise perfume. It's a joke. And so I'm sorry, Dad, but I need to see a change, or else I'm going to tell you it's going to be just like last year. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. I just expected some changes from Brian Callahan this year, and I haven't seen him. It's the same soft pushover he was last year. What did he learn? 615-737-1025, Stillman and Company here on the program. And there was one thing that TD said last week that he knew was going to be an issue with me. And we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 1025, 106 for the game.
Brian, we've talked a lot about lessons from last season, how it's affected the offseason approach for the players. How has it affected you as a coach, the lessons you take from last year? How has it affected the staff? Or do you find you're going about this job differently or no?
Yeah, there's definitely some things I go about it differently. I still think I'm pretty true to who I am as far as my interactions with people and players and the staff. But there's a different urgency that goes on here for me, for how I deal with the staff in particular. I think a lot of the things I've learned, I've tried to put into practice. You know, it's one thing to like reflect and say, oh, I could have done this and this better. I've been pretty intentional about doing the things that I think we needed to change. I've sort of attacked those things, and they've been a part of my daily interactions and process. And a lot of it was kind of through this offseason program that we developed. And how do we best win football games, and how do I best put our team in position to do that? How do I coach that better? And how do I do a better job from a leadership perspective for our players and our staff? So there's a lot of things that go into that, but I think I've not strayed too far from who I am and how I interact, but I've also been really focused and intentional about what needed to be better.
There you go. That was Brian Callahan saying a bunch of words when asked, so what changes have you made from last year to this year? Well, I've thought long and hard about it, and I've done a lot, and, you know, I've really got more of an urgency, and blah, 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 blah. Again, what changes did you make? And there are two. He changed the special teams coach, didn't change the defensive coordinator, didn't change the offensive coordinator, even though the offense was horse crap last year, didn't change defense, even though defense was terrible last year. But he did change special teams coach. And then, again, our offseason program. I thought long and hard about it, Callahan said, when he introduced the Remember the Titans 4-H's offseason program. Then, again, I laughed at when I heard that. And then they had Tony Pollard at the podium. And Tony Pollard was asked what it was that the winner of the four of the eight teams was. And he said he didn't even know. I said, oh, my God, what a freaking joke. What a freaking joke. What a freaking clown show. I'm sorry. And then Jeffrey Simmons didn't even show up for any of it. And so TD was on the program last week during the TD Power Hour. And I asked TD, I said, what have you seen that makes you think Brian Callahan is a good coach? Here's what TD said.
Well, I think this offseason showed a lot of progress. Just the ability to go back and look at how things were and recalibrate this program that they're doing. And I know, you know, some people look at it as a joke, but I think it's a good example of being able to correct mistakes or find ways to address issues. So I do think that's good. I feel he does a good job of relating to the players. I think they like him. So that's something. On the field, though, it just after that first drive or two, it's just bad. And that has to get better.
So the one thing I'll say about the offseason program, isn't it kind of hard for this to be so fundamentally the coach in the right direction when the star player blew it off?
I knew that's what you were
going. You had to know it was going to come.
I knew that's where you were going.
He knew that's where I was going, because how do you make something such a big deal if the star player says, screw it, I'm not going? It reminds me of, there was a commercial years ago back when people used to watch the NBA Finals. And it was when LeBron played Dirk Nowitzki in the Mavericks, and there was a Cameron Diaz movie that came out called Bad Teacher. And all I remember, I don't even think I've seen that movie, but all I remember is that commercial that played over and over and over again, where Jason Sudeikis yelled at the kid in school, and they were arguing about LeBron and Jordan. And Jason Sudeikis says, call me when LeBron gets 6 rings. And the kid goes, is that the only argument you got? He goes, that's the only argument I need, Sean! And when it comes to the Brian Callahan off-season of just, massive changes, accountability, teamwork, development, leadership, hard work, Simmons has said that he doesn't need that. You're throwing it out the window. It doesn't matter anymore, because your star player doesn't give a rat's ass about it. So if he's not taking it seriously, why would anybody else take it seriously? And I know, people in defense of Jeffrey Simmons will say, well, Derrick Henry didn't always show up to OTAs. Right. But Derrick Henry's coach never came out and said, I have divided the team into 8 separate yet equally important groups, and they will contend the entire offseason program long against one another so that we will win football games in the fall. Mike Vrabel, Mike Mularkey never said that, though Mularkey did rip Derrick Henry's ass for not showing up to OTAs one time. But they never said that. They never viewed OTAs and accountability from making mistakes in OTAs as a fundamental reason as to why they were going to be good next year, because they knew that's child's play. That's little league. That's Capri Suns and orange slices. And you cannot tell me that this is going to have a fundamental impact on the team when the star player is not buying in. Let me just ask you a question about coaching in general. When it comes to any sport, football, basketball, baseball, hockey, soccer, whatever, business, same way. If you've got a group that you're leading and the head coach of the team is the leader, and when you're leading a group and you need everybody to buy into something, and the number one performer with the strongest job security of anybody there doesn't buy into it, what do you think's going to happen for the rest of the group? What do you think's going to happen? They're not going to buy in either. Not that I took the Callahan thing seriously anyways, because once again, that sounded like something a Pop Warner team would do. If you remember your helmets in your cleats this week, we all get apple slices. But at the same time, when you don't have your star player buy in, and then you still try to convince people that this is a difference, this is the light, this is going to fix things, I don't have a lot of confidence in where this is going. I'm just going to tell you that right now. And the entire YouTube chat is all up in arms right now in defense of Brian Callahan, and I don't understand why. Again, these were the same people that were always in defense of Ran, but, I mean, if you're in defense of Ran and Brian Callahan all the time, do you not ever look at the fact that your team was the worst team in the NFL? Like, do you not ever look at that and not ever say, like, hey, we're the worst team in ball. How are we going to fix it? I mean, I'll say this about Borgonzi and Brinker. They at least got a right tackle. They had to spend $50 million on a guy who's not worth $50 million, but hey, that's the going rate. But at least they said, hey, there are some things we got to do to fix this team. And they actually did them. Instead, the Titans just kept their patronizing head coach who patronizes the star player. I mean, I want you to think about this. I thought a texter said this perfectly when the whole Simmons minicamp thing was going down. And we had Denard Wilson, who is patronizing Simmons and saying, man, he looks great. It motivates me to get in shape. We had Callahan who was patronizing Simmons. Again, the guy who cried after they beat the awful Patriots. I mean, come on now. Tracy Rocker, I still don't understand this, said something along the lines of, just because Simmons isn't here doesn't mean he isn't here, which I still don't understand what that means. I still don't understand it. And all they've done is just kiss ass, kiss ass, kiss ass, kiss ass. Where do you think that's going to get you? Again, do you think Mike Vrabel would have ever kissed ass like that? I mean, it's just a joke. And so I'm sorry to my dad, who's all mad because I'm too hard, apparently, on Callahan. But it's just, I needed to see change. And there's no change. Zero change when it comes to how Brian Callahan's running this operation. And so why should there be any change off of what we saw last year? 615-737-1025. We'll hit your phones next. 615-737-1025. And there's another person who has just, I mean, done a fabulous job at finding every which way this offseason to piss me off as far as the Titans are concerned. And he did it again. We'll get to that one next. 615-737-1025 here on the program. If you want to weigh in, again, that's 615-737-1025. Nashville's best deal this week is Red's Hot Chicken. Red's Hot Chicken on West End is bringing the heat. Don't miss their hot chicken and waffles or the mac and cheese crunch wrap. Grab a $30 gift card now for only $15 while supplies last at thegamenashville.com/deals. And be sure to join Robbie and Rex Road as they broadcast live at the Duncan Grand reopening in Hermitage at 5205 Old Hickory Boulevard this Friday, starting at 8 a.m. The first 100 people in line will receive free coffee for 100 days. Plus, 1025 The Game will have your chance to win tickets to an upcoming concert. Good luck on that. Stillman and Company, 1025 The Game.
I think I saw you tweet maybe or post on social about your off-season travels. Where'd you go and who'd you go with this off-season? What was it like?
Man, I was with the tight ends a lot of the time. A lot of the trips. I went to Costa Rica first, then we had a little trip to Australia, and from there went to Japan, and then I had a little trip to the UK and then Brazil. So I got to get around this offseason. It was fun.
That was Chig Okonkwo at the start of the OTAs talking about all of his offseason travels. And deep down inside, I don't care what guys do for the most part in their spare time. But I do care what guys do when they're not very good and they're expected to be very important. And when you've got Cam Ward as your starting quarterback, you need a tight end, a good tight end, not a, well, you know, maybe he could be good tight end and, oh, well, maybe he could be good. That's Chig a couple years ago. I mean, Chig has been the starting tight end for 2 years and Chig stinks. And I guess he's still the tight end now. I mean, I think the Titans probably know that they need help at tight end. I don't know what they're going to do at this point, but this is the bed that they've made for themselves, which, again, they should have been more proactive at tight end. You know, it's not an accident that when the Texans went to draft C.J. Stroud, they signed Dalton Schultz, who is a real tight end, that offseason. So tight end U is making a bunch of big headlines. It's George Kittle and Travis Kelce and Greg Olsen's kind of thing. They do it every year during the break, where they bring all the tight ends into Nashville and they all have a great time. And now it's really turned into something. I mean, NFL Live was doing their show yesterday from Tight End U. Taylor Swift apparently was on stage at a concert last night for Tight End U. And so Tight End U is a big deal. Guess who from the Titans is headed to Tight End U? Gunnar Helm. Apparently TD had a video. Will Levis was there yesterday throwing to Brock Bowers. Where's Chig? Is Chig on another vacation? The UK, Brazil, Costa Rica, Australia, Japan. Then we go back for OTAs. Then I got to get on the plane and go back on vacation. Because that's what it feels like. And I cannot state to you how much, again, this all just drives me crazy about the Titans culture. The fact that the Titans, from, again, starting players that don't feel the need to really buy in and dedicate their lives to the game because they need to go on vacation, or they need to allegedly shoot up car dealerships. And it just kind of feels to me like it's kind of the same. You know, it's just more of the same, more of the, oh, well, Chig's got his starting spot. He doesn't need to worry about working hard. And if you don't think that attitude could seep to Cam Ward, you don't understand how it works, again, in big organizations. Again, you talk about culture all the time. Mike Vrabel had a line that stuck with me for a long time. Vrabel had two lines that I really heard him say, and I'm like, you know what? Those are good edicts. The first is, if you worry about the job you don't have, you won't do the job that you do have. And I believe that. The second thing Vrabel said is, culture doesn't matter when you're good. Culture only matters when you're bad. Well, the Titans were the worst team in the NFL last year. So I'd say culture is pretty important. And between Simmons and Snead and Chig, this team's culture is not very good. Again, that's why Jarvis Brownlee thinks he can fire off tweets, even though he was the 131st corner in the NFL last year. But I guess Chig needed another trip. Couldn't make it out to tight end U. George Kittle and Travis Kelce, they're doing their own thing. I mean, it's just, it's crazy. Phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. By the way, when Chris Sanders joins us, I do think there's going to be some fire on the program. We shall see. One texter says, the Titans coach is so little league. I spent my time between the Marines and the Army, and that's what we need in the locker room is somebody with gumption and structure. It feels like we have a generation of boys. So I don't really know exactly what that means. I will say this, though. This is what always happens when you don't know exactly what or whom you're looking for in a coach or general manager, is you go out and you hire the exact opposite of the last guy. And that's what the Titans did. Mike Vrabel was mean. Mike Vrabel was an a-hole. And he was very my way or the highway, to the point that even I was like, that's not going to fly much longer. And also things that even if you are that way in the NFL, like, it's kind of stupid to get in fights with the owner. I'm sorry. That's not a fight you want to pick. So the Titans went out and they found the guy that was the most agreeable, the nicest, the kindest, and they hired him. And that's what they have. And last year, Harold Landry was talking about, hey, guys feel like they can be themselves this year. And they were themselves to 3-14. And the one change is, now we're going to have this fake competition in the offseason. But don't feel like you need to put any hard work in. So with that, we don't do. One texter says, maybe that's just how Callahan has been trained to handle the media. Maybe behind closed doors, he has tuned it up a notch. You can't completely make a 180 with how you are. No one is taking you one bit seriously because you don't even know who you are. You can't be a Sour Patch Kid coach. Okay, so here's the difference. Again, I understand that you can't be the nice parent and then all of a sudden say, I'm going to discipline my kid. You can't do that. I understand. But when it comes to Brian Callahan, he could have looked in the mirror at the end of the year and he could have said, you know what? I wasn't tight enough with these guys. And I mean tight, like buttoned up. And I didn't get the right coaching staff in here. I was too optimistic about my coaching staff. I need a more experienced coaching staff. So instead of just adding Mike McCoy and switching out the special teams coach, I'm going to go get an experienced defensive coordinator, and I'm going to hand him the defense, and we're going to take this up a notch. And in the way that I talk to the media, I'm going to make my displeasure known, because last year I just told everybody how great everybody was all the time. So I'm not going to do that this year. Because there's no doubt in my mind, L'Jarius Sneed must have absolutely pissed him off by getting involved, allegedly, in a car dealership shooting during the season on a Friday before the Jacksonville game on a Sunday. You know Callahan can voice displeasure with that, right? He can't get up there and bemoan that Jeffrey Simmons isn't at OTAs because that's technically voluntary. But he doesn't have a bad word to say about anybody. And there's just no change. Josh says there was a change up this offseason. Changed Jeffrey Simmons, changed up the vehicle that he shows up to in practice. I actually don't think he did. Because Simmons' truck is very loud. And I did see Simmons' truck at the facility during the one day of mini camp that I was there and that he was there. 615-737-1025 is our phone number, 615-737-1025. So my dad was very hard on me because he thinks I'm being too hard on Callahan. Chris Sanders will join us next. And I'm going to ask Chris Sanders this question. What exactly does he expect to be different when it comes to the Titans? We'll get to that coming up next. Stillman & Company, 125 The Game. Stillman & Company, let's give something away because why not? Be caller 5 at 615-737-1025. You'll score a four-pack of tickets to the FIFA Club World Cup match at Geodis Park on this Thursday night. So, to recap the week that I've had, we've talked a lot of hockey, and we'll be talking more hockey today. But on Monday, I had to discuss something that irked me on Friday. I was off on Friday, but I saw Jarvis Brownlee fired off a tweet about Anthony Richardson and then later deleted it. And again, it was about a video of Richardson rapping and he said Indy on the clock for that BS. And it's like, dude, you've never beaten Indy in your career. But it wasn't so much about Brownlee that drove me crazy. It was about what I believe is the Titans culture, which is you can be the worst team in ball. You can get embarrassed twice by that Colts team, but you still talk because that's all the Titans do. They talk the talk and they don't walk the walk. Jeffrey Simmons talks the talk. He drives his big truck. He talks about how great he is. Then when he doesn't get any sacks, he says, well, I'm getting double teamed. Boo-hoo! And that's the culture they have. L'Jarius Sneed gets his big contract and then never plays and gets involved in a shooting, allegedly. That's the culture they have, which allows a nobody, Jarvis Brownlee Jr., 131st ranked corner in the NFL, according to PFF, to think he can fire off and talk trash to. And to me, that's a reflection of the coach. My dad thinks I'm a little too hard on Callahan. Chris Sanders joins us now on the program. Chris?
What?
You
what
know my dad.
You okay, man?
You know my dad. He says I'm too hard on Brian Callahan. Am I too hard on Brian Callahan?
I think you are just a little bit. I mean, last year was his first year, and you know, before that he was the offensive coordinator. I just think that he just got to work out the kinks. Now, when you talk about this Brownlee stuff and Jeffrey Simmons stuff, I think with Jeffrey Simmons, I think that's a little different. You call him in the office and say, I need you to be a leader. I need you to stand up. I need you to be the guy that you called yourself to be. Now, with the Brownlee thing, why in the world would you – this is just my opinion. Why would you go on the world and talk about – on the radio and talk about you're going to do this and that when you ain't, we haven't won the AFC South in a long, long time? So I just think that let's win some games. I say this respectfully. Let's win some games first before we start talking a lot of trash. That's what I'm saying.
So I think I learned a great lesson in trash talking when one time Floyd said to me, he goes, you know, he's like, I didn't believe in trash talking. And I certainly didn't believe trash talking in the media. And I said, what do you mean you didn't believe trash talking in the media? And he said, we talked that trash on the scoreboard. That's what he said. Yeah. He said, we talked that trash on the scoreboard. The Titans haven't been doing anything like that on the scoreboard in a long, long time. And I do worry that Callahan, I think that there is a culture of patronizing where everybody over there thinks they're better than they are. And it's going to be until September when they get embarrassed again that they realize they need to take this seriously.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take it seriously. I mean, the thing about it is you have to win some games. You got to have some credibility. And I say this in a respectful way. Right now you don't have no credibility because you had some season that wasn't good. I mean, you know, I understand the mojo, a guy having confidence, a guy feeling like he can defeat the world. But before you can defeat the world, you got to beat the Giants. That's in the AFC South. So I just think that right now, before you start talking trash and, you know, putting yourself on a pedestal because you had a pretty good season, and I think you had an okay season, but before you start talking trash about Indy, before you start talking trash about me being the best cornerback in the league, you got to go out there and prove it. Because the thing about it is, it's just faulty words that's just kind of falling to the ground, respectfully.
So I want to go through the three things that have really stood out to me as far as Callahan's concerned that have really bothered me with the offseason. The first, of course, is the fact that the L'Jarius Sneed thing last year with the alleged shooting happening during the season, I think that shows either a lack of respect or a lack of focus, or again, this is during the season, and I know he's rehabbing his knee and he's injured and he's not playing, but come on now. Then there was Simmons. Right. Callahan talks about how, you know, how important this offseason program is going to be to winning football games in the fall, and the leader doesn't show up, which means he's not buying in. And if the leader doesn't buy in, then how's everybody else going to buy in? And then Brownlee, a guy who's really trying to make a name for himself in the NFL. I mean, he's got an opportunity, but he doesn't have anything more than that in front of him right now. It just seems to me to be a team that doesn't really understand reality here, that's not professional, and that you were a professional. Do these things not bother you?
Yeah, I mean, this is what it is. We always talk, you know, leadership reflects the, you know, what's on your team. And I think that this is just my opinion. I think Callahan, what he has to do, and I kind of agree with you in a sense that what he needs to do, he needs to get his leader in the room and say, okay, this is what I expect. This is what I need you to do. And I think that if you're the leader, you got to show up every time. You can't say, okay, I'm designated as leader and I don't show up for OTAs. I understand it is voluntary. Great. Yes, it's voluntary, but leaders have to do and sacrifice, say, okay, you know what? I got to show myself a leader, not just talk about being a leader. And I think, you know, last year with Callahan, you know, I just think that he was just trying to figure things out right now. But as I went to go watch camp, you know, a couple of weeks ago, I just think that there's a different sound. I just think that everybody's on board right now. I understand the situation with Simmons. I understand the situation with Snead. Those are things that he has to correct. But as in watching practice, as in watching what he does, as in watching how he responds, I just think there's a different sound this year. I know you're like, well, how can they do that when they got all this trouble? You know, all you have to do is talk to the guys and let's make this sure we get this stuff done.
Chris Anders is with us here on the program. Chris, I do wonder when it comes to Callahan and this team, what changes have you seen? Because to me, he changed the special teams coach, and he said this offseason program was going to be really important, and that's it. And I'm not sure that's good enough for me. Is it good enough for you?
It is, but here's the thing. It starts with your quarterback. You can have all the pieces in place, but if you don't have a quarterback that's going to lead this charge, and this is my opinion. I know he's not there yet, but I think that there's something different about, you know, the guy that's in command that's leading his team as a quarterback. This is a different step. There's a different attitude. And I think that, you know, just overall, this is my opinion, just watching practice, these guys are figuring out that they can trust this guy. I mean, look at the defense. They're chirping and talking smack, but they still have there's a respect factor. And I just think that situation is a little different. I know you're talking about, you know, the special teams. Yeah, the special teams is a little different because the special teams was the worst in the league last year. Now you're improving situations that you need to improve. They improved the quarterback. They went and got an offensive line. They went and got some receivers. They went and got some guys on the defensive end. So they've gotten better. Now they got to produce on Sunday.
Chris Anders with us on the program. Do you believe that – I think Vegas thinks the Titans are going to win 5 games. Do you think they're going to be better than that?
I think they are. I really do. And I think they're going between 8 and 9 games. I really do. And it might be even more than that because, you know, if you look at the situation last year, you know, there was about 3 or 4 games that the Tennessee Titans should have won. I mean, look at the first game against Chicago. The reason why they didn't win that game is because your quarterback play. I mean, it was the weirdest thing. The defense was dominating. Everybody was doing their job. But then you have a quarterback that throws a pick six. Look at the Green Bay game. They're up by 7. He throws a pick six, and then the momentum shifts. So if they can just do the little things, you know, not jump off sides, you know, not have bonehead play, stop the run. And if they can just work on those little things and pay attention to the details, I think they're going to win some more games. Can't go by last year. This roster's different. There's a different quarterback. There's different receivers. There's a different lineman. So it's a different vibe now. So I think the record's going to improve. It might not be 14, 15 wins, but I think between 8 and 9 wins.
Chris Anders, as always, great stuff. We will talk soon.
Is it? Appreciate you, man. Love you, brother.
Yep, Chris Anders joining us on the program. Chris thinks 8 and 9 games. Boy, I got a hard time figuring out how they're going to get to 8 or 9 wins. So there have been a couple comments in the YouTube chat in which one person says that he says all of this because he never has to come face-to-face with the people he talks about. Somebody else said in the YouTube chat, Brian Callahan needs to come on the show and Jared will get on his knees like he did yesterday for the Preds general manager, only calling out guys that don't give him the time of day. David Reed, what is our next segment on the grid about?
Calling out someone that you do see face-to-face?
We're going to have a talk about what Barry Trotz said on this show yesterday because it did not sit well with me. And we'll get to that next. Stillman and Company, 102.5 The Game.